This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، میں آپ کا بھائی بات کر رہا ہوں یاسر قاضی امریکہ سے، اور مجھ کو بہت ہی خوشی ہے کہ مجھ کو یہ فرصت ملی ہے آپ لوگ سے کہ میں آپ سے ذرا سا گفتگو کروں. پہلی تو بات ہے کہ یہ تو بات صحیح ہے کہ ہمارے اجداد لکھنؤ سے تعلق رکھتے تھے، لیکن چونکہ ہماری پیدائش و رہائش یہاں امریکہ میں ہوئی ہے، تو میں آپ کے سامنے شرمندہ ہوں کہ میں آپ لوگ کے زبان میں بات کروں. میری مادر کی زبان اردو ہے، لیکن میری مادری زبان تو انگریزی ہے، تو اسی لیے جو ہے میں آپ سے معذرت چاہتا ہوں کہ میں ذرا گفتگو انگریزی میں کروں گا، تاکہ وہ ہمارے لیے زیادہ آسان کی بات ہے یہ. سو آئی ایم ایز آئی سیڈ ویری آنرڈ ٹو بی ایبل ٹو پریزنٹ مائی تھاٹس ان فرنٹ آف یو، اسپیشلی ایٹ دس ویری ویری ڈیفیکلٹ ٹائم دیٹ انڈین Muslims are going through. And really, first and foremost, I would like to say that all of you are in my du'as. I have been mentioning the Indian situation for many, many months now. In multiple khutbas, we have been fundraising and bringing awareness to this reality. And so my heart goes out to you, my du'as go out to you. You are really in our thoughts and our prayers, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of you and to protect the ummah. So the question really that arises, especially to tulab al-ilm and to mashayikh and to du'at, is what really can be done and what should you be doing given the reality of your political situation, given the impending rhetoric that frankly is very, very troubling and worrisome. And I hope that all of you are monitoring this reality and the potential of, may Allah protect all of us, but the potential of that which we don't even want to verbalize, we don't want to say these words. So we will just say that if the discourse continues, if the type of conversation and rhetoric, and if the hate mongering continues, then the results are going to be, Allah musta'an, potentially very, very, very dangerous. So from now, all of us, and especially you, my brothers and sisters in India, especially you need to stand up and do something. Now, what is to be done in this regard? Well, again, I'm just going to share my thoughts, and inshallah, I hope that this will bring about a discussion from within. If you look at the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the beautiful things is that we learn so much from the seerah, and we see from the seerah that we are allowed to adapt, we are allowed to prioritize depending on our context. We are allowed to look at the broader picture. We're allowed to see what can and can we not do, and then shape our discourse, shape our priorities based upon the political climate of our time. So where the persecution increases, our responsibilities decrease. This is from our Sharia. And in fact, this is one of the principles of the Maqasid of the Sharia and the Qawa'id al-Fiqh. Our ulama know this, those that studied fiqh, that one of the main principles of Islamic fiqh, kullama daqa al-amru ittasa', the more difficult something becomes, the easier the sharia becomes. The more difficult the difficulty becomes, the easier the sharia becomes. Al-mashaqqatu tajlibu at-taysir. This is one of the maxims of fiqh. Al-mashaqqa, when there is mashaqqa, when there is difficulty, tajlibu at-taysir, it brings about an ease. So when we look at the da'wah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the early stages of Mecca, he did not even go public. In fact, many of the Muslims converted and they didn't even tell the people that they had converted. They kept their da'wah secret amongst themselves. Also, at times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not give public da'wah. He gave private da'wah. It was not known that there is a new faith unless you were interested in finding out about it. And as more and more Muslims increased, and as their quantity increased, and as the political climate changed, so too their da'wah changed as well. And they became more public depending on the political realities around them. So the reality that you are finding right now in India of this rising Islamophobia, of this rising ideology that has distorted the reality of your country and nation and is taking it to very, very dangerous far-right extremes, your ulama and your thinkers, your leaders and your politicians that are of our background, Muslims, those who understand the reality, you should come together and discuss what should be our priority right now, what should be our discourse right now. And may I humbly suggest as well, is that ulama should realize that they need the help of siyasiyun, political experts. And political experts who are Muslim should realize they also need the feedback of ulama. اعطي كل ذي حق حقه. Give everybody the right that is due unto them. Let every person be cognizant, aware of his own تخصص. And how a minority living in India right now, how Indian Muslims should deal with the broader public is something that not just ulama, but also political thinkers, also mufakkirun, also people that have khibra in media, also people that are involved in political parties and alliances and are faithful to our faith and are also sympathetic to us, they will also have feedback. So bring together people of different takhassusat, bring together people of different specialities and have a frank discussion. And one of the advices that I would give, and again, anything I say, please discuss amongst yourselves, because as the saying of the Arabs go, أهل مكة أدرى بشعابها. The people of Mecca are more familiar with their territories than the people outside of Mecca. Meaning, aap log behtar jante hain ki aapke liye kya priorities honi chahiye. You would know best, right? We're simply advising and guiding you. So one of the things that comes to my mind as an outsider who is following your situation, I am in the end of the day living in America. I am Indian origin and background, but I have only been a few times and I am living in this very far away land. What I see is that perhaps what is happening in the broader society, what is happening in your country, perhaps you may shift your da'wah now. Perhaps now is not the wisest time to be giving da'wah to outsiders, because it might bring extra animosity, extra hatred, extra mobs to come in. And there's no reason to do that at this stage. But there is a type of da'wah that actually will be facilitated at this time frame. And that is the da'wah from within. That is the attempt to make our own Muslim community stronger in their own faith and iman, to raise the iman and taqwa, to raise the rituals and religiosity, to raise the, as Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. Why didn't they turn to us when the punishment was coming down? التَضَرُّع, meaning a dua and ibadah and taqwa and zuhd. This is what we need to now be teaching. And we can utilize what is happening in your society as a catalyst, as a cause that, hey Muslims, look, you need Allah Azza wa Jal. You need Allah to be your Mawla. Allah is our Mawla. And if you don't have Allah, if you don't have a ta'alluq with Allah, you don't have a connection with Allah, then how are you going to take on the broader society and the hatred and the Islamophobia and the xenophobia and the potential violence that is going to take place? Now is the time to make our Muslims better Muslims, to make them understand they will need to start praying, they will need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand their deen. And perhaps one of the best strategies that you can use for this da'wah is to reintroduce them to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will see it through a whole different light. They will especially relate to the persecution of the Muslims in early Mecca, the bravery that Ammar and Yasir and Sumayyah the Sahaba and Bilal ibn Abi Rabah had. The persecution of the Muslims will take on a new meaning. Indian Muslims should now be fully aware of the sacrifices of the people in early Islam, of the Sahaba in Mecca. Go over the stories of how they were mocked, how they were ridiculed, how gang mentalities happened against them. Go over the stories of how Yasir and Sumayyah were literally martyred, literally shredded to bits in front of the others. And this will give them a source of inspiration. It will bring comfort to those who have already lost their lives, that, you know what, we're not the first. And it will give them a sense of bravery. It will allow them to understand that, you know what, sometimes, yes, there is going to be some pain and suffering, but if we are firm in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sabran ala yasir fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Now, this is not to say we should be pacifists, because one of the things we learn as well is, hey, if you are able to, then you have to have defense mechanisms as well. That's something we learn from the seerah as well. But that is, of course, a later phase, the Madani phase. One of the things we learn as well from the seerah is that if you are really in fear of persecution, then the option of hijrah is indeed not just open, but it becomes somewhat, you should consider it long and hard. The Sahaba made hijrah to Abyssinia, and then they made hijrah to Medina. So if a situation in a particular region of your land becomes extremely difficult, then think about, for those who are able to protect yourselves by going to other lands. Now again, I'm an outsider and I'm not qualified to tell you specifically, should you not, what to do. But the seerah gives us this option. Your leaders right now, the people that understand the dynamics of Indian Muslims, should come together and make this decision and advise, is it good for Muslims to go to one area of the country, maybe even to start advising people to leave the country? I don't know. This is something that you know best. All I'm saying, from the seerah, we have this option. Whether this option works for you or not, that's something you have to decide. But from the seerah, we have this option that if push comes to shove and your life is threatened and you're not able to practice Islam, then those who are able to should leave and to go to a place where they are able to practice Islam, because the Sharia is not asking us to lose our lives in vain. It's not asking us to just, you know, die for the sake of nothing. No, if you're able to live somewhere else and worship Allah properly, then do that. And if you are not able to, then Allah Azza wa Jal allows an excuse for this. But again, your local leaders and teachers and thinkers and political analysts would know best. All I'm saying, from the seerah, this is an option. From the seerah, we also learn, dear brothers and sisters from India, from the seerah we learn that it is a part of our religion to find allies from the broader society who are going to fight for our dignity and freedom, who are going to help us carve out the freedom to be Muslim and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your society, dear Muslims, in your society in India, there are lots of people who are opposed to this radical, far-right, hatred ideology of Islamophobia and Hindutva. They're opposed to that ideology. And they have a different understanding of what it means to be an Indian. They have a different understanding of what it means to have a secular democracy in India. Dear Muslims, I'm asking you, as a person who cares and loves about you, it is time to have a mature understanding of modern realities. You are all Indians politically, and you are all living in a secular, what should be a secular democracy. There is nothing un-Islamic to identify with the broader land of India. I say to people, I'm originally from India. There's nothing wrong to identify as an Indian. And there's nothing wrong to understand you're living in a democracy that should ideally guarantee you the freedom of being a Muslim. So if there are people in your society that are going to support your right to be Indian Muslims, and they are not Muslims themselves, then the seerah teaches us that we reach out to them and we form alliances with them. And we do cooperate with them upon good. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Allah didn't say, وَتَعَاوَنُوا مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. No, تَعَاوَنُ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى can be done with anybody who wants to promote birr and taqwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say to the people of Mecca, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I'm not asking you any money, but I want you to love me like I am from you. My qurba means I'm qarib, I'm your brother, I'm your kith, cousin, I'm your uncle, I'm your relative of the Quraysh. Treat me like a fellow Qurashi. This is what the Quran is saying. لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Give me the love that I deserve as a Qurashi. The meaning here, what would you give any other Qurashi? That's what I'm asking you. Allow me to be here and allow me to do what I'm doing and preach as I'm doing. There's nothing wrong, dear brothers and sisters, for you to demand your constitutional rights to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, to be a Muslim and to carve out your identity within the broader land of Islam, where your ancestors have lived for many, many, many generations. Those people who are trying to take this right away, to say that India is something else and whatnot, they're historically wrong, by the way, and they're politically wrong. So you have to form alliances and treaties with people. The Hilf al-Fudul, what is it? Go back to the seerah. Our Prophet ﷺ praised the Hilf al-Fudul. Abu Talib, he was a person who protected the Muslims, but you know, he did not accept Islam. And Allah says in the Quran, that إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاء. The Prophet ﷺ remained under the protection of Abu Talib, and he was saddened by the death of Abu Talib. Mutab ibn Adi, when the Prophet ﷺ returned from Ta'if, and he did not have, Abu Talib had passed away, and he did not have somebody to allow him to come into Mecca. Go read the books of Sirah. What did he do? He sent Bilal ibn Abi Rabah. He sent Bilal to Suhail ibn Amr. He sent Bilal to Al-Mughira. He sent Bilal to multiple people. And he said to Bilal, ask them to be my patron, the one who's going to give me, in our language, we would say, give me the visa, right? In our language, the Prophet with Abu Talib's death, the Banu Hashim, Abu Lahab became in charge, and Abu Lahab said, you no longer are allowed to live here. Abu Lahab was the chieftain of the Banu Hashim. So the Prophet is told to leave. He has to go to Ta'if. Ta'if happens what happens. He comes back. Then how is he going to enter again? So he has to get another chieftain of one of the Quraysh tribes, because the Banu Hashim has rejected him now after the death of Abu Talib. So what does he do? He sends Bilal to the other chieftains, and one after the other, they say no, until finally Mut'im ibn Adi says, yes, I will take him. And Mut'im ibn Adi goes out and brings the Prophet directly in, and he announces to the people that, hey, people of Mecca, I have given jiwar, I have given political status, basically I've given the visa to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, dear Muslims of India, Mut'im worshipped an idol. He was a pagan. He was an idol worshipper. And he remained an idol worshipper until he died. And he died before the battle of Badr. He died before the battle of Badr. And the Prophet ﷺ took that jiwar, and he entered Mecca under the jiwar of Mut'im ibn Adi. This is an alliance. This is finding locals from within. And Mut'im was very active in destroying the boycott against the Banu Hashim. Remember, you know, the Sha'b of Abu Talib, they had to go back into the boycott. Mut'im was one of the main people who stood up and said to the Quraysh, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Why don't you let them worship the way they want to? What difference does it make to you? Mut'im was not a Muslim, but Mut'im stood up for Islamic right to be Muslim. Look at this. And the Prophet ﷺ accepted that. And not only this, dear Muslims of India, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised Mut'im, a praise that he gave to no other person. He gave to Mut'im. You know what that praise is? Hadith is Sahih Bukhari. Go read our own tradition. Hadith is Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the Battle of Badr, when 70 of the Quraysh were chained up, all of their hands were at their necks, they were prisoners of war. 70 of the Qurayshis had been captured, right? And Mut'im had just died. He had just died before the Battle of Badr. He didn't participate in the Battle of Badr. And the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is in Bukhari, that لو كان مطعم ابن عدي حيا ثم كلمني في هؤلاء النتنا لأطلقتهم له. That if مطعم ابن عدي were still alive right now, and he spoke to me to free all of these 70 for free, just free them without any ransom, I would have freed all of them for his sake. Now, why is the Prophet ﷺ praising Mut'im after Mut'im has died? Why is the Prophet ﷺ praising Mut'im publicly to the point that it is in Sahih Bukhari? Why? Because he has to pay a debt to Mut'im. That debt is not a debt of money. It is a debt of gratitude. That debt is not thawab of Allah, because Mut'im died upon other than Islam. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. We are not talking about his akhirah. His fate is well known. We're not talking about his akhirah. But in this dunya, he did a good for the Muslims. He's going to be given back his reward in this dunya. And that reward was a praise. Even in our time, we give a prize to a politician. We honor the politician who has helped the Muslims. Nothing wrong with that. So dear Muslims, given the reality of these parties in India, and one of which is now gone this course, wallahi, the seerah teaches us, common sense teaches us, human reason and logic teaches us, that you need to find allies from the broader society to prevent a potential la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, what might happen. You need to find the current Mut'im ibn Adis. Who is the current Mut'im ibn Adi in your society? Where are the Abu Jahals that are going to stand up against the Abu Lahabs, right? You need the Abu Talibs to stand up against the Abu Jahls. Where are the Abu Talibs? Where are the Mut'im ibn Adis? You need to find that. And therefore, that's another thing that we learn from the seerah. And the final point that I'll say, brothers and sisters, and all of this, inshallah, listen, it's for you to think about and then form stronger conclusions. I could be mistaken in some of the things, you know, of your society. I don't know. I'm telling you generalities from the seerah that you can apply to your situation. Which one is the best for you? You look at that. But of the things that we learn, without a doubt, dear Muslims of India, without a doubt, one of the things that we learn is that in order to gain all of this, you must have a united front against the greater enemy. You must be united amongst yourselves. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah together and do not divide amongst yourselves. عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْفُرْقَةِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدٍ. Be sticking with the jama'ah and avoid division, because shaitan is with one and he is further away from two. And notice the difference between Badr and Uhud. Badr and Uhud. Badr, their numbers were few, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمْ اللَّهِ بِبَدْرٍ. Allah azza wa jal helped you at Badr, even though you were few and humiliated. Allah helped you. Why? وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. Don't differ amongst yourselves, or else you will lose all of your impetus and you will fail. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. So, in the battle of Badr, the Muslims were united. They came as one, and Allah blessed them. What happened in Uhud? حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ. Then you failed and you divided amongst yourselves. Dear Muslims, this is not the time to bicker amongst your own gatherings. Now, please, I'm an outsider, but wallahi, allow me to be blunt here. For the sake of the ummah, for the fact that I genuinely love and care about all of you, at this stage, O Muslims of India, what unites you is more than what divides you. Now is not the time. Now is not the time to enter into sectarianism and to exacerbate the firqabazi. Yes, I know there are differences, but let's put these differences aside for the time being. Let us understand that, wal'iyadu billah, if a mob comes, if the greater government comes, if whatever happens comes, they will not care whether you're Ahli Hadith, whether you're Deobandi, whether you're Sufi, whether you're Salafi, whether you're Barelvi, whether you're Buhri, they will not care. Yes, wallahi, listen to me carefully. I know these differences are not trivial. I know some of these differences might even be considered iman and kufr at a theological level. I'm not denying that. Understand me. With utmost love and respect, my takhassus is aqidah. I have a magisterium in Jama Islamiyah for aqidah. I know aqidah. I'm not saying it's trivial, but I'm saying for the sake of the greater good, for the sake of your own lives, for the sake of presenting a united front, you will have to learn to cooperate with those whom you think are Ahlul Bid'ah, those whom you might even think have committed a type of kufr in some aspect of theology. We're not asking whether they're entering Jannah or not. We are saying, hey, for the sake of our unity, to be freed Muslims in this land, we all have to come together to fight for a greater good. So what I'm saying is, we need to learn to cooperate in areas where cooperation is jaiz and permissible. Cooperating with somebody whom I think is wrong in an area, listen to me carefully, is not an endorsement of that wrong. This is our mindset that we need to get out of our understanding. Just because I stand next to somebody who has a different understanding of Islam and I say, look, we need to come together and fight against the Hindutva, fight against the BJP, this does not mean I'm endorsing his understanding of Islam. Let us come together for the political good, and then, if need be, we can discuss theology when the time is easier. We can discuss, you know, the meaning of sunnah and bid'ah and the meaning of this and that. When the time comes, khalas, let's discuss that as well. I'm not saying it's trivial. I'm not saying we ignore. But as the Arabs would say, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. Every time and situation forces us to have a particular type of discourse. So, right now, when there is rising hatred for all of Islam, right now, when the Hindutva ideology is literally plotting and planning, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. At this stage, dear Muslims, and especially within generic Sunnism, within the Ahli Hadith and the Deobandi and the Sufi and the Salafi and the Barelvi, these movements, you all believe in the Arkan al-Sitta, you all believe in the Hadith of Jibreel, the irony of ironies, you all believe that you are the correct followers of Shah Waliullah Dehlavi. Subhanallah, how ironic. The Barelvi and the Ahli Hadith and the Deobandi, you will say, Shah Waliullah belongs to us. and look at you amongst yourselves. Subhanallah. Please, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, halt your internal animosity and have the discourse between yourselves when the time is right, in the proper manner, with the proper adab. For now, stop preaching hatred against one another. You need to come together for the greater good. And by the way, even when that is gone, there's a way to present the truth without creating hatred to the others. And if you are interested, I have given a 3-part series earlier this year. You'll find it on my YouTube channel about the reality of sectarianism. Firqabazi. Hum log kaise taamul kare jin logon ke saath hamara ikhtilaf hai, wajah nazar hai, kaise hum logon ke saath interaction kare. So I've given a longer, more fundamental based, usuli based, like with the qawaid and the maxims. I have a 3-part series dealing with sectarianism, part 1, 2, and 3. You will find it online. But the point is, brothers and sisters, to summarize it, to conclude, wallahi, the situation in your land is extremely dire. We are seeing this from across the world. And we are making dua for you. We are constantly mentioning you in khutab and durus. We are raising funds for you. Our hearts are with you. We are seeing the rising realities of this ideology, and we are literally worried that a repeat of what happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s, we are literally worried. Well, may Allah protect, we are worried that this might be happening in front of our eyes. So if the rise of this is, nobody can deny, the future only Allah knows. But before anything else happens, we all have to make a collective effort to try our best that it doesn't get worse. And therefore, to summarize my points, what I advise your situation right now, perhaps the priority right now should not be da'wah to others. Perhaps the priority now should be da'wah from within. Raise the consciousness of the Muslim ummah. Allow them to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allow them to understand the dire realities and that they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, understand that there's nothing un-Islamic. In fact, it is Islamic to form alliances with people outside of our faith who are going to help us be Muslims. This is a part of the seerah. Also, understand as well that teaching the seerah is perhaps one of the best mechanisms of da'wah as well. Also, the tool or the tactic of hijrah, again, to be clear, I'm not saying you should, but I'm saying it is on the table. And it is from the tools that the Sharia allows you. Whether you should take advantage of that tool or not, only you know. And that's not something I can tell you to do or not. And the final point that I must make the most emphasis of is to make sure that you remain united. That the Prophet ﷺ said, "Alaykum bil jama'ah." That Allah is commanding you to yakunu ibadallahi ikhwana, be servants of Allah together, and hold on. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an. All of you hold on to the rope of Allah together. Wala tafarraqu, and don't divide amongst yourselves. Now, you're not going to achieve 100% unity. It's not going to happen. But you bring together the moderates of every camp. You will find moderates in every single camp, amongst the Barelvis, amongst the Ahli Hadith, amongst the Deobandis, amongst all of the Firqs, Jamaat Islami, whatever they might be, even amongst the non-Sunni groups, you will find the moderates. The moderates who say, hey, look, for the greater good, we have to come together and present a united front, have a strategy that is going to affect all of us positively. Find those moderates and form the largest coalitions. And whoever doesn't come, that's on them. That's fine. You have to do what you have to do. And obviously, final point, brothers and sisters, final point, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you yourselves, you have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that you're praying istikhara for any major decision you make. Make sure that you take the mashwara of the people of ilm, of all takhassusat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His blessings and mercy on you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the protection of the angels around you. Indeed, Allah is our mawla, and our opponents do not have any mawla. Allahu mawlana wa la mawla lahum. So Allah Azza wa Jal is indeed the one we turn to, and may Allah Azza wa Jal protect every single one of you. I sincerely pray and make dua that a day will come that I can visit your land, as you're probably aware, I'm not allowed to come to the very land of my ancestors, but I hope inshallah ta'ala the day will come that I'm able to come, and if that happens, then I'll be very honored to be hosted by your group if we're allowed to do that, and to meet all of you in person. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Faya dhulli wa ya khajali إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إليه.